Matthew chapter 10, from verse 16 to verse 33. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in the synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Let's close our eyes and pray. Oh Lord, you have entrusted the preaching of your word to men, weak as we are. When you could have chosen the angels to preach these faithful words that you have given for all generations. So indeed then, O Lord, we need your grace, even as we are, to look at this text, that you may be the one who speaks through me, you may be the one who opens the ears of your children, that they may hear your word and not have the word stolen from them. That indeed the word, O Lord, may bear fruit even in their lives. So help us then, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So you will remember then, brethren, that last week we looked at verses 1 to verse 15, where Jesus sent out his 12 disciples, and we saw that he sent them to the towns and villages of the people of Israel. And most importantly, we saw why he was sending them out, that he was sending them out that they can go and preach to proclaim the arrival of the kingdom of God, the kingdom that the people of Israel had been waiting for. And we also saw that Jesus, having sent his disciples, he sent them, having given them authority, power to be able to heal the sick, to be able to cast out demons, to be able to heal the lepers, and to be able to raise some from the dead. And we also saw when we ended our sermon that there will be those who will not welcome the disciples. And Jesus gave them a command that if people will not welcome you, then you shake the dust off your feet, and you leave that place and you go to another place. So this week then, we look at what those who will not welcome the disciples will do to the disciples in their opposition of the message. So what are those people who will not want to hear the message of the kingdom of God going to do to these disciples? And you will remember that what the disciples were doing as they were being sent by Jesus, it was an example to be followed by all Christians throughout of history. And on the other hand, you will see that what these people who will not welcome these disciples will do to them, it is something that we can expect to happen throughout all generations, when disciples, even disciples of today, will go out and preach the gospel even in the towns and villages where Jesus has sent them to. So it is important then to note that what Jesus is telling his disciples here is not only what was going to happen to them on this particular occasion when Jesus is sending these 12, but it was something that was going to happen to them in general on the occasions when they will go. It doesn't mean that this was going to happen each and every time, but it was something, it was principles that they could expect. It was things that they could expect as they go on to preach the gospel to the Jews and also to the Gentiles as they do later on. So then, brethren, I want us to look at our passage in a questions format like we did last week. So then let us ask ourselves three questions from the passage that we have read, three questions that I hope will be answered by this passage that we have read. And the first question is, what is going to happen to the disciples as they preach the message of the kingdom of God? That's the first question we are going to look at. And the second question is, how are the disciples supposed to react when they see these things that are going to happen to them? And the third thing we'll be looking at, the third question is, should the disciples be afraid then when they hear of the things that will happen to them? Should they decide that they will not proclaim the message of the kingdom of God anymore? So then let's look at our first question. What is going to happen to these disciples as they preach the message of the kingdom of God? So then we see in our passage that from verse 16 to verse 25, Jesus is giving a list of troubles, a list of possible troubles that the disciples will be faced with as they go on to proclaim the message of the kingdom of God. And what he also does, he gives them two causes or two reasons why they will be faced with these troubles. He gives them two reasons why these things will happen to them. And the first thing we see, it is mentioned in verse 16. And in verse 16, we see that Jesus mentions that the disciples are like sheep surrounded by wolves. He says there, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." So Jesus here is making it clear to the disciples that they are not like those that they are being sent to. That the disciples themselves are sheep, but there are some amongst those that they are being sent to who are wolves. And this does not mean that each and every person that they'll be sent to are wolves, but it means that there will be some among those that are being sent to who will be wolves, who will have this tendency to desire to be in opposition to the disciples. And the intention here is to show that to these disciples that there will be an enmity, there will be this hatred, this war between the disciples and those that they are being sent to. And it is to warn them again that they should not expect things to be easy. as they are going to proclaim the message of the kingdom of God, they must not think that things will be easy, that things will just welcome them, people will just welcome them. But they should know that there will be wolves around where they are going, and they themselves will be sheep, and the wolves will desire to devour them. And the second cause, or the second reason we see why these things will happen to these disciples, is found in verse 24 and verse 25, where Jesus gives them sort of reason why they will be faced with the troubles that they will be faced with. If you look at verse 24, Jesus there says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household?" So Jesus here shows the disciples that they will find themselves in trouble, that they will be maligned, they will be mistreated because of him. He will be the reason why people will mistreat them. Because the world that they are being sent to is the world that hates Jesus. Is the world that says Jesus has a demon. He has this Beelzebub. And because of that, the people will hate those who come in the name of the same Jesus. And Jesus says, if they mistreat me, if they treat me the way that they are treating me, then you cannot expect to be treated differently. And then Jesus, having showed them these things, then he moves them, he shows them two troubles, or two possible troubles, that the disciples, and us included as today's disciples, could expect as they go on to preach the message of the kingdom of God. And the first trouble we'll see is that the disciples will be delivered to their enemies. The disciples will be delivered to their enemies. We see then in verse 17 and verse 18, Jesus says there to his disciples, "Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in the synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles." So here Jesus is saying to them that the disciples could expect to be arrested for preaching the gospel. And we see that people who not are welcoming to them will go out of their way to arrest them and to take them before the kings and the magistrates so that they could be executed, so that they could be beaten. And Jesus here is making it clear that the disciples could expect to be beaten, not just by unreligious people, not just by people who do not claim to believe, but by the very people who claim to believe in the coming of the Christ, the very people who had expected Christ to come. He says that they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in the synagogues. That the people in the synagogues, the very place where the law of God was read every week, where people were taught to await the coming of the kingdom of God, were to be the very people who would arrest the disciples and beat them and send them to the governors and kings so that they will be put into trials. That's why he mentioned that they will deliver you over to courts, that you may stand trial, that you may be condemned. So then the message from Jesus is that the disciples then had to prepare themselves that they may actually go to prison for preaching this message. That they had to prepare themselves that they may actually be beaten for preaching this message. That their lives will be turned around because they are preaching this message of the kingdom of God. And we see the same thing happening when you go to the book of Acts. You see Peter and John being arrested by the same religious people, the same people who had awaited to hear this news. But when the news came to them, they did not want to hear it. Instead, they arrested Peter and John, and they brought them before the council that they may answer for themselves. And this is exactly the same way that Jesus had told them would happen to them. But then we see another thing here, that Jesus says the disciples will be taken to court so that they can bear witness about him before the very same people who were arresting them, and before the kings and the governors and the people who were in authorities. So we see that these arrests and beatings will also be for the purposes of ensuring that these disciples testify about the kingdom of God. That as they are being arrested, they will find themselves with an opportunity to be able to speak the words that the Spirit is putting in their mouths to speak. So these arrests and beatings will be for the purposes of them testifying further about Jesus and his kingdom. That these kings, that they will appear before, that these governors who will want them to answer for themselves can also hear this message of the kingdom of God. And we see the very same thing happening to Apostle Paul when you go to the end of the book of Acts, how he was arrested by the Jews because of the message of the kingdom of God. And they brought him before this King Agrippa and these governors Felix and Festus, and he was there that he may answer. And when he was there, he was able to preach the same message of the gospel to these kings and these governors. And this is the same thing that Jesus is mentioning here, that this arrest will lead to some good, that as they're being arrested, then the Spirit will give them words, words that they will be able to speak even on that day. So the second trouble we see that the disciples could expect as they go on to preach the message of the kingdom of God is that the disciples will be hated by all. We see this in verse 22 to verse 23, that Jesus mentions that the disciples will be hated by all peoples. This does not mean that each and every person that they meet or each and every person that they will preach to will hate them. But this means that all kinds of people will hate the disciples. That when you go to different tribes, you will find among those tribes those who hate them. When you go to a different town, you will find people even amongst there who will hate the disciples. And Jesus says all will hate the disciples. So we see then, dear brethren, in verse 23, Jesus says in verse 22, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, that there will be all kinds of people who will hate these disciples. And we also see something in verse 21 to verse 22, that this hatred will not only extend to those who are outside the disciples' families. Instead, we see that the hatred will even be amongst the family members of the disciples. In verse 21, Jesus says, brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. So not only will the disciples be hated by religious people who are hypocrites, but their own families as well will hate them, and their own families will take them so that they may be arrested, so that they may also be beaten or even be put to death. So we see that because of this message of the kingdom of God, the disciples will be hated by the members of their own families. Their brothers will hate them. They will think that they are better.
their sisters will hate them. They will say that these disciples think that they are more righteous than others. We'll see that a father will hate his child because the child is worshipping this coming king, Jesus Christ. And we'll see that a mother will hate the very child that this mother had raised from birth. And children will hate even their own parents. And all because of this message of the kingdom of God. And not only will they hate them, Jesus says they will deliver them to be killed. Family members will take their own family members who are disciples and they will get them killed because of this very message of the kingdom of God. And we see this throughout all of history. We have seen people within the families hating those who are Christians and taking them and sending them to prison or killing them themselves. We know a lady who had to run away from her home in Sri Lanka and come to this country because her own brother wanted to kill her because she had believed that Jesus Christ is the King, that Jesus Christ is the one who was to come into the world. So these were the troubles that Jesus were telling the disciples that they will face as they go on to preach this message of the kingdom of God. So Danley, let's come to the second question and ask ourselves, how are the disciples supposed to react when these troubles are happening to them? So as they find themselves then being hated by their families, as they find themselves being dragged to court or people desiring to kill them, how are they supposed to react? Are the disciples supposed to give up when these troubles come? Are they supposed to stop preaching the message of the kingdom of God because now they have been delivered to prisons and made to appear before kings and governors? Are the disciples supposed to reject Christ now and say, we will not believe in you because of these troubles? How are they supposed to behave when their own family members hate them and seek to kill them? So we see here in our passage that Jesus gives us five ways in which the disciples need to react when they are faced with this trouble. And the first way we see here is that the disciples should be wise and innocent at the same time. This way is found in verse 16. Jesus here having mentioned that these disciples are being sent out as sheep amongst the wolves, he then says to them, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. He says, be wise as snakes and be innocent as the birds of the air. So here by Jesus saying, be wise as snakes, Jesus is calling unto these disciples to exercise all the wisdom that they have to avoid the traps that those who hate them will set for them. Jesus is saying, use your wisdom because these ones who hate you will set you traps so that they can catch you. But you have to be wise as serpents. So Jesus is a good example of this wisdom. Because as you read the books, these Gospels, you will see that there are many times when the Pharisees had tried to trap Jesus. They had tried to use their little wisdom, which is not wisdom at all, to trap him so that Jesus can say things that they can use to accuse him. And the best example is found in the book of Mark, chapter 12. Let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter 12, from verse 13 to verse 17. Mark 12, verse 13 to 17. It says, and they sent to him some of the Pharisees and some of the Herodians to trap him in his talk. You see that they were sent there to go and trap him. And they came and said to him, teacher, We know that you are true and do not care about anyone's opinion. For you are not swayed by appearances, but truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or should we not? But knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, why put me to the test? Why are you trying to trap me? Then he says, bring me a denarius and let me look at it. And they brought one. And he said to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. Jesus said to them, render to Caesar's the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. And they marveled at him. So here we see that Jesus used his wisdom to avoid the traps that the Pharisees had set up for him, so that they can resist his message and ensure that he does not continue to preach this message. Or worse, to make sure that they could arrest him and bring before Caesar and say, this man says we should not pay taxes. And this is the same thing that the disciples need to do as well. They need to understand that those who do not want the message of the kingdom of God will come up with ways to try and trap the disciples of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus here says, the disciples must also be innocent as doves. They must not be found guilty of the very things that they are preaching against. That the people should not find fault with these disciples. They must be innocent. Nobody should come and say, I saw him doing the very thing that he's preaching against. How then can we believe him? Because he is a hypocrite. And Jesus says, you must be innocent. That the people must not find fault in you, but they must find that you live the very thing that you are preaching. So the very second reaction we see that the disciples must have in the midst of these troubles is that the disciples should not be anxious of what they are to say. The disciples should not be anxious of what to say. So Jesus here recognizes that as the disciples are brought over to the courts to answer for themselves, as they are being delivered to the kings and to the governors, that they will need to say something in their defense. And Jesus here says, the disciples should not worry about what they are to say on that day, when they will have to defend themselves against the accusers. Let's look at verse 19 to verse 20. He says that, when they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you on that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So Jesus here recognizes that there is this anxiety, this worry, that the disciples may not have something to say. And he assures them that you do not worry. That when these things are happening, the Spirit of the Father will be the one speaking through you. And for that reason, you should not spend your time worried about what you will say. And the same could be said about the worry that we as Christians have when we want to go and evangelize. We're thinking, what am I going to say? I do not know anything to say. So you are telling us to go and evangelize, but what am I going to say to those people? And Jesus says, you do not worry. The Spirit of God will speak through you. You just go there and present yourself, and God Himself will give you words to say at that time. So the disciples should not be anxious. Instead, they must trust in the Spirit of God to use them as tools for His glory to accomplish this purpose of preaching the message of the kingdom of God. The third reaction we see, or the third way that the disciples must react in the midst of these troubles, is that the disciples need to endure in their troubles. They need to be steadfast. They need to continue even when these troubles are happening. We see that in verse 22. In verse 22, in that last sentence, it says, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." So it is clear that the troubles that the disciples will be facing will be horrible. That these are not nice things that people will want to happen to them. And we saw that these troubles will happen mainly because these disciples belong to Jesus. And because of that, then people are able to realize that if I'm suffering because I testify about Jesus, then I can just reject Jesus and all my troubles will disappear. That if I can just reject Jesus, then no one will mistreat me. If people hate me because of Jesus Christ, then the way for them not to hate me is for myself to disassociate myself from Jesus Christ, to reject him. And here is the temptation then, that if only we could go back to our old lives before Jesus Christ, then the troubles will disappear. If only we can just stop talking about Jesus, then no one will hate us. Knowing that people are going to hell, but you keep quiet, then everybody will be happy with you. When they ask you about the Bible and say, "What do you think?" You just don't tell the truth. Then things are fine. And there was the temptation. And Jesus, knowing this temptation that will come into the minds of the disciples, he says to them, they need to endure. They need to continue to proclaim the message of the kingdom of God, even if it leads to death. They need to preach about this coming kingdom, this kingdom that had been waiting for and has come, even if their families hate them. Even when they give you an option, you have to stop or you have to leave the house. But they have to continue to preach this message. Even if they were to be imprisoned, they need to continue to announce that Jesus is the Messiah who was to come into this world. But why endure? Why should we endure in the midst of these troubles? It says here, because the one who endures shall be saved. He does not mean that you will be saved as in coming out of your sins to the light. But it means that you will be saved from your troubles. You shall see God. That all your troubles will disappear on that day of glory when you shall stand before God. And you will not regret having endured, because you know that great is a reward in heaven. That on that day, God will recognize the work that you have done for the kingdom of God and the sufferings that you have endured. And that is why they need to endure. So the fourth way we see how the disciples should react is that the disciples must flee from the towns where they are being persecuted. In verse 23 of our passage, Jesus says to the disciples, "When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." So Jesus is saying, if there is persecution in one area, if in one area they are troubling you, then move to the next one. And this is not because Jesus is teaching the disciples to now be afraid. No, because the gospel has to be preached everywhere. Everywhere that the gospel has to be preached, in every town and every village. And because of that, there is no need to stay in a place where you are not welcomed, when you can go to another one where you can preach and be welcomed. It is the same principle we saw
last week,
where Jesus said to the disciples, if you go to a town and they are not welcome you, you shake the dust of your feet and you move on to the next one. It's the same principle, that they should not waste their time preaching to people who refuse to listen to the message of the kingdom of God. But they should go to the next town, to the next village, that they may find the people there who will welcome this message with joy. And lastly, the last way that the disciples must react in the midst of troubles is that the disciples should not try to be above Christ. They should not try to be better than Jesus Christ. We see that in verse 25 of our text. Let's look at it. It says that it is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. In the King James Version and the other translation, it says it is enough for the disciple to be as his master and the servant as his Lord. So here Jesus recognizes that there is a temptation from the disciples as they are facing these troubles to desire to be different from Jesus, so that they will not be persecuted like he was. They will be tempted to preach differently from him. They will be tempted not to call people unto repentance because the kingdom of God is at hand. They will be tempted to be friendly with the same Pharisees who persecuted Jesus. They will be more tempted to be more acceptable to the people. Not to offend the people, but say the things that the people want to hear. But the message from Jesus is simple, that it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. That a disciple of Jesus should be content, should be happy to be like Jesus. A disciple should not seek to be different from him. He should not seek to be treated differently from Jesus. But if people treat him the same way that they treated Jesus, then he should be content with that. Because we see the very same thing these days, brethren. We see people calling themselves Christians, but preaching the different message from the one that Jesus preached. We see them calling themselves by the name of Jesus, but rejecting Jesus. The same Jesus who preached about hell more than anybody else, they will not want to even preach about hell. Because they say, no, he wasn't more loving. We will be more loving to the people. But Jesus says, a disciple should be as his master and the servant as his Lord. That the same sufferings of Jesus should be the same sufferings that we desire for ourselves. Not that we should seek not to suffer while Jesus suffered. And then we try to come up with ways that the people may be more acceptable of us, even if it's different from the way people were acceptable to Jesus. So then, that is the ways that Jesus says the disciples must react in the midst of this trouble. So then let's come to our third question. Since the disciples are going to suffer in this way, should they be afraid? And as a result, should they stop proclaiming the message of the kingdom of God? Should they be fearful then? As they hear Jesus mentioning these troubles that will come upon them, and should they now consider to say, no, we will not preach this message? And should they live their lives overcome with fear? Should they be fear every time, thinking these things might happen to us if we preach the gospel? We find our answers then in verse 26 and verse 33 of our passage. And there, the first thing we notice in verse 26 is an encouragement from Jesus to the disciples not to have fear. He says to them, "So have no fear of them." Although Jesus had mentioned all these things that the Jews and the Gentiles will do to the disciples, he encourages them not to fear them, even in the knowledge of the things that they will do to them. "Have no fear," he says. "Even though they will put you in prison, even though they will hate you, even though they will kill you, even your own family will seek to kill you, but you are not to fear them. Be strengthened in your heart." And the second thing that Jesus says here, he provides a primary reason why the disciples should not be fearful of these things, even though they will happen to them. In verse 28, he says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." So Jesus here is making it clear that there is nothing to fear from people. And all the people of the earth, you should not fear them, because they only have the authority to kill the body, but they do not have the authority to kill the soul. So here Jesus is reminding these disciples of what is important between the body and the soul. He's convincing them that the body is of lesser value compared to the soul. And he's showing them then that even though these things will happen to you, they will happen to your body, but your soul will be intact. No one is able to harm your soul. So do not fear, because they can only touch your soul. And he's reminding them as well that the body is made to die anyway. So why be afraid when people are threatening to kill you, when the body is meant to die? You are going to die eventually. So you might as well die preaching this message of the kingdom of God. So why should be afraid when you are going to die? Instead, be happy that they cannot touch your soul. Then he shows them that it is the soul that they should worry about and not the body. They should fear him who is able to kill both the body and the soul in hell. And who is that? That is God himself. So Jesus is showing them that instead of fearing people, they should fear God. They should fear no one but God. He's showing them that it does not matter what sufferings they have to go through this world, but as long as they fear God, as long as they know that God is their God, and that God has their soul within the palm of his hands. So Jesus is putting a choice between them: to fear people or to fear God. That is the choice. The people can kill the body, but God can kill both body and soul. So who then should you fear? You fear God and not the people. And then thirdly, we see that Jesus provides another reason why the disciples should not fear those who will trouble them. That they should not be fearful, even amongst the troubles that they will go through. We see this in verse 29 to verse 31. Here Jesus says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." So Jesus here is using the birds of the air to show the disciples just how important they are to God. He's showing them that there is not a single bird on earth that falls to the ground without God authority for it to fall to the ground. That God cares about the birds. He takes care of birds. And if God cares so much about birds, then surely he cares so much more about the disciples. He says in verse 31, "Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. You are more loved by God than many birds of the air." You are more important to God than birds. And God is able to take care of birds. And if he is able to take care of birds, then he is able to take care of you. If he is able to ensure that no bird dies, then he is able to ensure that not even one disciple dies unless he gives authority of this. And then Jesus shows them, he continues further to show them just how important these disciples are to God. He says to them, God cares about them so much that he numbers the hairs of their heads. He counts just how many hairs they have in their heads. He knows those hairs. And not even one of it falls to the ground unless he knows about it. And this is to show that none of the disciples will fall to the ground. None of them will die or be troubled by people of the earth unless God has prepared them for it. And because of that, they should not fear. Even when they hear these things, they should not fear, knowing just how important they are to God. And then fourthly, we see Jesus providing another reason why the disciples should not be fearful of those who seek to destroy them. He says in verse 32, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." So Jesus is saying to his disciples, you go tell people about me, regardless of the troubles you will face, and I in turn will tell the Father about you. Just as much as you testify about me, I will testify about you to the Father. In heaven, they will know your name. If you make my name known on earth, yours will be known in heaven. I will do to my Father by telling him about you, as you do to the people, telling them about me and my kingdom. That these disciples, they must identify themselves with Jesus. They must not be ashamed of him. They must not deny him in the midst of troubles. And if they will not deny him, he will not deny them as well. He will be proud to acknowledge them. And as such, we should be proud to speak of him. We should be proud to identify ourselves with Jesus Christ. Because he will be proud to say, "I know him. He is my disciples. She is faithful to me, even in the midst of trouble." He will tell of you to his Father. He will speak of your praises to the Father and say, "Father, I have a faithful servant even on earth." Just as we are telling people that there is a faithful God, Jesus Christ, we need to believe in him. But then we see that the opposite is also true here. He says in verse 33, "Whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." So the warning is clear that if the disciples will fear people more than they fear God, and therefore not acknowledge Christ before people, then Christ will not acknowledge them. He will not tell his father of them because they are ashamed of him even on earth. So this is a very good reason for us as disciples not to fear God, not to fear people, but to acknowledge Christ before people, to seek to have Christ known through us, that he may make us known as well to the Father, that one day when we see him, he may say to us, "Come, you good and faithful servant, enter into the rest prepared for you, because you were not ashamed of me. You told everyone who would hear about me." And then lastly, instead of the disciples having fear, this is what they are to do. In the midst of all these troubles, instead of the disciples now being afraid, this is what they need to do now. In verse 27, Jesus says, "What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops." So Jesus is saying, instead of living in fear of the people, take the word you hear from me and proclaim it to them. Proclaim it so much that all will hear. Preach it from your housetops. Go and shout it. Desire that all may know about me. Shout with a great joy so that all people may hear that you are speaking about my kingdom. Do not whisper what you heard. You may have heard my word being whispered to you, but you must say it aloud to people that the people may hear it. Do not keep this word to yourself. Say it to everyone that everyone may hear it. So this message of the kingdom of God is a message that should be said aloud, that should be said to everyone, that should be said everywhere. Everybody must hear it. And this is a message that we should say it even when faced with the sword of death. But we should say it. That even when we are threatened with death, we should not be afraid to preach about this message of the kingdom of God. And that no fear should stand in the way of this preaching of the message of the kingdom of God. That nothing, no trouble that will come upon us in this world should stand in the way of people hearing that the kingdom of God is at hand. He says, say it in the light. Proclaim it on the housetops. Don't be afraid. Don't say it in secret. Say it that all people may hear about it. So, brethren, in closing then, the biggest reason why Christians do not evangelize is because they say we are afraid. We have fear. Perhaps we are afraid of people. Perhaps we are afraid of not knowing what to say. Perhaps we are afraid of the things that might be done to us. If you preach at work, they may just fire you. So you're thinking, I'm afraid of this. But Jesus here is strengthening us that we should not be afraid. We should preach this gospel even when troubles come our way. And we should not be fearful of what we need to say to people, because the Spirit of God itself will speak through us. Because that is what you will hear people saying. I do not know what to say. But you must present yourself, and God will give you words that you should speak even on that day. And then it's clear that we should not be fearful of the harm that could come to us. Instead, we must fear God. Instead of fearing people, we must fear God, who is able to destroy both body and soul. And not people. because they can only work within the boundaries that God had set for them. So then we need to tell people about the kingdom of God. We need to tell them that they need to enter. We need to put everything we have on the altar so that the message of the kingdom of God may go out. We must not hold anything back, but tell everyone who would hear that Christ the King has come and he's calling on all to enter into his kingdom. That we should not deny Christ before people. That people must know that we are Christians and we are proud of being Christians. That people must know that we are proud to speak about him. That when people are speaking, we should not be afraid and keep quiet. But we should speak about him who is our King. So then, brethren, tell people about Christ. Tell them that he is King. Tell them that he is worthy of their worship. And tell them to repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. Let's close our eyes and pray. We thank you, O Lord, for your word, which is encouraging to our hearts, which shows us, O Lord, that indeed you are God, knowing the future before it even happens, knowing all possibilities, what could happen to us, but already, O Lord, preparing a way for us to escape. Strengthen our hearts, O Lord, that we may not be fearful to share the gospel with others. Indeed, help us, O Lord, to leave this place, O Lord, having strengthened, having had no fear, having been determined, O Lord, to tell all about you. That regardless of the troubles we might face, regardless of the threats we might see, that indeed we may know that you are God, you are in charge of all the earth. Be with us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.